Last week we talked about being stones. I made you aware that you are to be a stone for the gospel, for Christ. You are the temple of God. You are called to be the temples of God. And in the temple, there's always the chief cornerstone, which we know is Jesus. And then we have the foundation that was laid and by the apostles and the prophets. But I want you to realize that you are a stone for this time, this generation, for your life. Most of us will not be sitting here in 70 years. Most of us won't be here in 50 years. But while I'm here, I'm going to do my part to be the stone for the temple, for those coming up behind me, those that I can reach, those that can learn from what they hear and see in my life, to be a stepping stone, to be another layer for the foundation of the temple. And I was getting I got my inspiration, and I'll read that real quick, because today we're going to talk about being the stones. Being the stones. And what started this was a scripture that I read in 1 Kings 5 and 17, and it says, and this is Solomon building the temple of God, and it says, and the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, some versions as precious stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. And I want you to know that you are that foundation. We are building on the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. All the works of the apostles and the prophets we have documented mostly in the Bible that we read, God's word. And now you are to be the stone for your time, your era. And last week I had to cut it kind of short, so I want to kind of finish it out and give you what God has given me for today. 2 Corinthians 4. And I didn't get to read this last week. You know, we think that we're walking through this world and we're just going to be, you know, God's going to fix it all. Let me ask you, did Jacob have an encounter with God without something changing in his life? He walked with a limp. Did Joseph become who he was without experiencing the pit, the betrayal, the jail, the forgetfulness of those that said, oh, I'll remember you when I get out? No, he did not. But he came to realize when his brothers came for food because of the famine, that I'm here to save many lives. And that's what the stones are for. When the people walk through that door, they don't want to hear the same old sorry thing that they can get out in the world. They can go to Judaism. They can go to Islam. They can go to all these spiritual things, whatever it is. They can go and get a broken religion. But I serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one with the power to change, the power to save, the power to raise the dead, the power to open the blind eyes. I serve the God. And so do you. But what do they see when they come through the door? Do they see the stones? Or do they see a broken foundation? Christ definitely is not broken. So it comes back on us. I want you to understand the apostles and the prophets, the ode, they all did their jobs, what they were supposed to do. We have record of most of their what was done in their lives that were, you know, that God put in the Bible that we have as record today, but it wasn't without a price. The last thing we talked about last week was huge stones. And I don't know about you, but them hewing of the stone is not very pleasant. It's a chipping away. It's a chopping away. And I was reading 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 10 last week. I was trying to get to it, but I couldn't. And it says, let's start at 7. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-suppressing power is God, from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but crushed, not perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not destroyed. We are always carrying around in our bodies the death of Christ so that the life of Jesus may be also revealed in our bodies. So you are being hewed. You are being hewed. And there is one part in the scripture in this chapter, I think. He says, we almost lost hope because we were so despaired that we were almost to death. Paul says, you know, I become so into such despair. It was so hard that we almost felt like we were going to die. Paul was a stone for his time, his generation, and even today, he is the one that we are listening to and patterning our thoughts and our minds after him, because he said, you know, be like me, but be like Christ. So last week we talked about being stones, precious stones, hewed stones. And I want you to go to 1 Peter 1:18-19 for me. Peter, of course, was with Christ during his earthly time here. And we like to put Peter on a pedestal, but Peter was just human like us. He allowed the Holy Spirit to make him and mold him into being a foundational stone for this kingdom of God we talk about. Peter wasn't perfect. Peter rebuked Christ when he told him about his plan to die. And, you know, Jesus basically looked at him and said, Satan, get behind me. That's how quickly you can get out of the will of God. Jesus knew what his purpose was. And he would not allow even the ones he loved to deter him from that. And we get caught up in that trap so many times. And sometimes you just have to say, Satan, get behind me. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I don't care who's standing in front of you. If it's something that God has purposed and put in your life and you know that, don't let any devil in hell stand in front of you and tell you otherwise. But let's go to 1 Peter 1:18-19. And Peter went on to do great things. Even though he denied Christ, he's such a good example of human failure. He denied Christ. And I love the part where he says, you know, but I prayed for you that your faith fail you not. And when you come back, Peter, strengthen the brothers. That's what failure is all about. When we come back, strengthen the brothers. Get back on the right path and help others to walk the same correct path as well. It's not for you to be high and mighty and say, oh, I don't ever do this. I don't have mistakes. I'm here to tell you, I do. I'll be the first one to admit it. I make mistakes, but thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ and that mercy that's new each day. If I allow myself to go back to him and ask for forgiveness. You have a choice in everything. 1 Peter 1 is, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. It was the precious blood of Christ that we were purchased with. We have so much value. We talked last week about, you know, being born and blood. Giving blood for somebody. There ain't too many people in this world that I would give up my blood for. Let me just tell you that. My kids and occasionally that man I'm married to, I might do it. I don't know. I told you that last week. I'll just be honest with you. I love him. But, yeah, I don't know. The Holy Spirit would have to get a hold of that one. But that's how much value we have to God. His only son came and died for us. And that's how much Jesus loved us, that he was willing to be that sacrificial lamb. You know, when I think about that, I think about the hewing of the stones, the molding and the shaping. The Old Testament and the New Testament, they kind of talk about this circumcision of the heart, this cutting away, this separation from. Jeremiah 4:4 talks about taking away the foreskins of your heart. That's Old Testament, which means a change of heart. It means a cutting off. Like, I'm not going back. It's like the lady with the alabaster box. She broke the box that was, here is all that I am worth. And I'm not going back to that lifestyle anymore. I'm done with it. It's a change. It's an inward change. It's a true repentance that changes us from the inside. And you can see it from the outside. Some of us are still walking that out because God is still pointing out each day the things that need to be hewed away in our lives. And I tell you all the time, thankfully, he doesn't turn the lights on all at one time, just one room at a time. He said, okay, we're dealing with this today, son. We're going to deal with this today. Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing this to me. Is it a pleasant thing? I can tell you 99.999% of the time, it is not. It is a mindset. It is a habit. It is something that I have done or we have been involved in our whole lives. And the Holy Spirit is revealing it to you this day and says, this is where we've got to change it. In the Word, it shows it to you. Oh, that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, is to guide you into all truth. He's not one that takes you by the hand and pulls you. No, 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 no. He says, looks on you. This is where you're lacking. This is what the Word says. This is the path that God wants you to take. But I have a choice in the matter, don't I? Do I want to do it? Or do I want to rebel? To be a stone is difficult. You've got to choose to hurt. You've got to choose to lose. You've got to choose to be different, to go against the status quo, the normal. You don't look like other people. Stones of God. That's why other people notice you. It's because you behave differently. You talk differently. You act differently. You even dress differently. It's because of that circumcision of the heart. It's a surgery that happens over and over and over in your life. But we keep cutting away what doesn't need to be there. Because freedom is so much better. So much better. I'm preparing myself not just for this life. I'm preparing for the other life, the eternal life. I heard a pastor talking today about Lazarus and the rich man and what happened when they die. It's real. And he said something I never really thought about. That is not quoted as a parable. That was the truth that Jesus spoke. That was the truth. Go read it. Paul told the Romans in Romans 2:29, but he is a Jew, people with the covenant, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. That's the covenant promise with the Jews coming to the Gentiles, because I may not have been born of that descent. But because of the Holy Spirit and that circumcision and the blood of Jesus Christ, the work of the cross, I can be part of that promise. But it's a work for me, just like everybody else. It's an inward change. So we are being hewed when we allow the Holy Spirit to do the work he came to do, renewing of the mind, which is the cutting off of anything, any thoughts, any words, any deeds, any behaviors, any mindsets that are not according to God's will, which is not in line with God's word. So we can be more Christ-like. That's that presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, surrendering our will to his will. Jesus said, any man want to come after me? What did he say? Deny yourself. First thing, deny yourself. That's the first problem we have, deny ourselves. We like being self-righteous. We like being self-willed. Then pick up your cross and follow me. One version says daily. It's a daily thing. I'm so thankful that Christ and God didn't leave me without the ability to do these things. He didn't. He had it all planned out. And I'm so thankful that He didn't leave it to my own ability or my own strength. I'm sure He saw that from the beginning in the garden. You tell them not to do it, and they're going to do it. How many kids you got like that? I have to be careful with one of my children. The other one does well with rules. The other one, you give her a rule, that'll be the darn thing she do or die. You have to use child psychology with her. You have to say, okay, you know, you word it differently. And then you'll probably get the right results. Well, God knew how we were. So He gave us free will, but He also gave us the ability through the power of the cross and the Holy Spirit's working to do what we need to do. And many people say, oh, you know, it's great that we're a stone, we're a foundation for the temple, you know, in our time, but how can I be a stone? How is it I can be a stone? Do you remember the people that you grew up with in church, man? And you just knew the foundational stones in that church, man. You could look at that sister, and there's one that comes to my mind. And my father said no matter what time of day, he would call her and ask her for prayer for somebody. You know, when my father got a call, he was a minister, a pastor, and he says she sounded like she was already awake. Not once did I ever call her. This is one of the old saints. It sounded like she was already up praying. And I remember her to this day. She's still living, bless her heart. And she would sit, and she had this prayer life, what all the craziness going on around her, no matter what her kids were doing. And honey, buddy, she was one of the rocks, one of the stones of our church. If you wanted something done, you called Sister So-and-so. She got on her knees. She didn't waste no time. She got on her knees. She got the prayer line to heaven. She was connected. You knew that for sure. And so this is what people are looking for in us. In us. And it had nothing to do with her, but her willingness and submission to the Father. So here we are. How do we become a stone? What is the stone? It's unmovable, unshakable. It's solid. It's uncompromising. It's not like the Bible says, one that is blown by the wind, like the waves, back and forth. We're submitting to our emotions, to our feelings, to the trauma that we've experienced. Not one that's unstable. That's what we need today. That's what people are looking for today. They're looking for something solid. Something real. Not something just to make me feel good. Hey, I can come in here and shout with the best of y'all. I were brought up Pentecostal, baby. We walked the pews. But when you hit that door, you better have that same power when you face that enemy out there. It's easy to do out here and all of us. And I'm okay for dancing and all that stuff. But when you don't have that same show outside these doors, I'm a little suspect of you. That's not what I'm looking for. I need somebody who's going to help me on Monday morning. It's going to get me through Tuesday. Going to get me through Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday when I'm not in this house. Not around these people. Something solid. This is what the church needs today. People are coming. They're going to be coming. The harvest is here. We've got to talk it. We've got to walk it. We've got to look it. How are they going to see God if they can't come in here and see us? In this church and outside in our lives as stones for Christ. The first step is to submit to it. Decide you're going to do it and do it. It's got to be your choice. There are very few people that came to Christ that He didn't ask, what do you need of me? In my own paraphrasing. What do you want? Like He didn't know. Like He didn't know. Even the guys that tore off the roof of the house because they couldn't get their friend to Jesus. They brought him in and dropped him down. It was a choice. It was a choice. It was a choice. You've got to decide to do it. I can't decide for you. He will not make you. Salvation is a free gift. You either take it or you don't. If Romans 6 and 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Deuteronomy 30 and 19, let's go back to the beginnings. He says, "I set before you life and death, blessings and curse. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." It's a choice. You have free will. He's not going to make you do this. Holy Spirit says, "Here's the path. This is what the Word says. This is the way you should go." I still have that choice. He doesn't bind me up and pull me along. No. He will bring all things to your remembrance. He will lead and guide you. He is a comforter. He has so many different things that He does for us. But our choice is ours. It's a choice. The hewing is a dying to the world, a cutting off of all that's not of Him, that's not going to help me, this weight that, you know, that keeps us from going forward and being who we're supposed to be and leading others. Once we choose the life in faith, because, you know, we don't always see everything. Do you ever look at yourself and think about 6 months down the road behind you and think, you know, things have gotten better. I have grown a little. I'm doing good. I'm doing pretty good. But you got a long way to still going. Don't keep looking back. But He does what He says He will do. Every promise is true if we have the faith. I pray that your faith fail you not. It's good to know that He's still praying for us now. John 1, 12 and 13. And I'm not reading you scriptures that you don't know. I'm not telling you anything you probably don't already know. I'm just trying to shed it in a different light. So when we choose life, we become the children of God. It says, verse 12, "Yet to all who did receive Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God." That's who we are. So now I am child of God who has all the promises of God, who has all the faith, or should have all the faith, in my Father, in the promises that He gave me. They're yes and amen. He says, "I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will always hold you up with my strong right hand. All things will work to the good of those who love Him." That means that the bad's going to have to work to the good eventually. So I'm a child of God. I'm born, John 3 and 5 says, born of water and spirit, because a human can produce only a human life. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life if I choose. He's like this great resource that I have, but if I never open the book and never read and never walk, it's just there. The book's just on the shelf. But you know what came with this divine Holy Spirit that indwells within the Spirit of God? If you go to 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4, it says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness." Thank God it's not on my own, because I've seen mine. It don't work. through these, he has given us very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Oh my gosh. The Holy Spirit lives in me, and guess whose nature you have? You have God's nature in you. Oh, divine nature, it says. Having the nature of someone means that you have the character of someone. It means that the way someone thinks, feels, and behaves is also yours. This is why I get so blown away by these Christians who want to cry, poor, pitiful me, and walk around with sad, long faces. And I'm sitting there thinking, do you not have that same Holy Spirit in you that I got? Do you not? The enemy comes and goes, boo! And they run and tuck tail. And they come running to the altar like, I'm being persecuted. He's coming against me. Honey, baby, stand up. Lion of Judah lives in you. The power of the cross and the grave resides in this human body. And I will not stand and be persecuted, scared of what is beneath me in Christ Jesus. What is the world looking for? It's not looking for that. They can go out there and get that all day long. They need to see the true God in you. The Holy Spirit. With him comes power. Acts 1:8. Jesus tells the disciples to stay in Jerusalem until you shall receive power. Power. You have power. Power, I looked that word up. It's dunamis in the Greek. What does dunamis mean? It means miraculous power. Not just normal power. Miraculous power. It means that you have strength and might. It means that you have powerful deeds. How many of us are walking around like powerful people of God? Why are we entertaining the enemy? Why are we allowing him to distract us with his nonsense, his foolishness? That's why he sent it, because he doesn't want you to know who you really are. Power from on high, miraculous power. Not just, and it actually says miraculous physical power. If you look the word up, oh my gosh, stones. We are called to be stones. We have his nature. Galatians 5:22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. That's the Spirit that lives with you. What's that fruit means? It means something that you have gained. It's a result. It's a profit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which just means the ability to patiently, self-controlly, restrain yourself. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That is what lives in you. That's God's nature. Don't tell me you can't learn to love someone. Don't tell me you can't have joy. Don't tell me you can't have peace. Baby, it's already there. You're just tripped out on whatever's going on and living beneath who you are. We need stones. Stones. Stones that will come to you and tell you the truth. And not some Candyland itch ear stuff. No, baby, as Pastor says, I'm worried about your soul. You got to go to heaven just like everybody else. I'm sorry, this is meat, but you just going to have to chew on it. No more milk. No more milk. We are too far in this thing to be sucking on milk. Baby, it's time for some meat, because the times are coming that we need stones in this building, stones in your life, stones in this world. It's time to be a stone. It's time to be a stone. You are not left without it. the power, the authority. You have that all in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit lives within you. You can produce the fruit that's in you. Fruit. It's your gain. It's what you have. Power. It's dunamis power. People are coming and they need to see the stones. Because they've seen the world's foundations and they're not standing. COVID was the first thing. There's liable to be more. The economy, not very stable. But we're stones. Don't matter what's going on outside of there. I know the one that supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory. Not according to the economy. Not according to this, that, and the other. It's according to his riches. I'm a stone. Don't matter what's coming. I'm going to operate as the powerful Christian that I am. As what he died to give me. His nature. His power. His authority. Lion of Judah, roar in this house.